Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Iran's foreign minister today accused the United States of provoking conflict in the Persian Gulf region, calling it a tinderbox ready to blow up. Tensions have risen in the Gulf since the U.S. pulled out of the 2015 nuclear deal and reimposed sanctions aimed at Iran's oil exports. After Iran seized a British tanker last month, the U.S. launched a military coalition to protect commercial shipping in the Strait of Hormuz. That's a crucial choke point between the Persian Gulf and the Indian Ocean that about one-fifth of the world's oil must pass through on its way to markets around the world. Joining us now is Sarah Vakshuri. She's founder and president of SVB Energy International, a strategic energy consulting firm in Washington and Dubai. Welcome. And first of all, what are the rules governing oil shipping in the Strait of Hormuz? Who has control over what happens in those waters?
So the oil that passes through the Strait of Hormuz goes from most major producers of OPEC, Kuwait, Iran, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, and UAE. And almost all of the LNG, liquid natural gas, liquefied natural gas that is produced by Qatar, the largest producers as of now, is passes through Strait of Hormuz. But the Strait of Hormuz is a very narrow choke point that is located between Iran and Oman, and practically is a territory waters of Oman and Iran. But based on international law, they are binded to guarantee the safety of the passage of these vessels. They have to cooperate, and also they are in charge and responsible for the safety of these tankers, even though that they're in control of them.
So what happens when we have a conflict like we have a few times in recent weeks, which is that Iran seizes a vessel in the Strait of Hormuz?
Well, based on international law, nations can defend themselves or each other if they are under attack. So it has been decades now since the Iraq-Iran war that U.S. Navy fleets are in the Persian Gulf and responsible for securing the U.S. And other commercial vessels that are passing through the this passage and choke point. So practically, the international forces, mostly in the past decades, U.S., were trying to secure the passage of this commercial vessel.
But now it's reached sort of a new level here. The U.S. has been recruiting other countries to join a naval coalition after the U.S. accused Iran of sabotaging tankers there. How unusual is it to have this kind of thing, an international brigade of ships patrolling the strait?
Well, two things together is happening. One is that Iran previously, under different occasions, have been threatening to closing the Strait of Hormuz. This happened previously under nuclear sanctions and in different occasions in the past few decades. But now we see that this threat have been actualized, actually, and there have been incidents. There have been attacks against the tankers, both in the Persian Gulf and in the Gulf of Oman. So now there is a more serious need for securing the commercial tankers and vessels that are passing this through. On the other side, U.S. Dependency on the oil that is shipped through this choke point have been reduced significantly due to the increase of shale oil and gas production inside the U.S. So practically, we cannot expect the U.S. taxpayers to pay for the security of oil that is going to the Asian markets, let's say China, India, or Japan. So it makes perfect sense that U.S. would invite other countries to help and to contribute to securing the commercial vessels passing through this choke point.
You're saying that's because the U.S. doesn't rely on the Strait of Hormuz as much as it used to?
Of course. So for U.S. spending a significant amount of money to secure the flow of oil from this choke point unilaterally doesn't make any more sense. And also, if you look at it in a long-term strategic view, the oil is going mostly to the Asian markets. Mm-hmm. And I'm not suggesting that any incident in the Strait of Hormuz does not have an impact in U.S. and U.S. market. Obviously, would have impact on the prices, but it does not have a direct impact for the security of oil flow going to the United States and gas, obviously.
What do you think Iran's goal is here? Why ratchet up the tension in the Strait of Hormuz many, many times in recent memory?
Well, Iran is using its control over this strait, which is having a very critical role in the global oil supply, as a leverage to use it anytime that it's in a hard and tough situation. Under the nuclear sanction, Iran threatened that if it cannot export any oil, it's going to close the Strait of Hormuz. Obviously, Iran was still able to export oil under the nuclear sanctions. But this time, that U.S. administration is trying and aiming for zero Iran oil export, Iran is not really able to export significant amount of oil. So they try to threaten to close the Strait of Hormuz verbally for many different occasions when President Trump's administration announced the sanctions on Iran. But surprisingly, the market did not really react to Iran's threats. We didn't see any significant increase in the oil prices, mostly because, as I mentioned, we have major other producers this time in the market, including U.S. But by these little incidents that happened with regard to the British tanker, Iran showed a more aggressive way to give the signal to the market that all these threats should be taken seriously if Iran cannot export any oil or some of its tankers are seized around the world.
Do you think that there is fear on the part of some, and I'm talking about in particular Germany and France, who are not going to join the U.S.-led coalition in the Strait of Hormuz, because they say there would be a great danger of being sucked into a military mission? Is there a worry that these tensions could escalate and perhaps spark a war?
Obviously, because any warship that goes into this area, especially because it's very close to the territorial waters of Iran, Iran might see it as an act of war. Things might get more aggressive. And if there is any military intervention or reaction toward Iran, all these military vessels obviously would be involved in that war. So there are a lot of hesitations for joining this coalition, but we have already have seen some nations joining this coalition. And we do not expect that they would leave these waters very soon.
Sarah Vakhshuri, how long do you see this going on in the Strait of Hormuz?
Well, I mean, if we look at it from the flow of oil and long-term destinations that are going to receive this oil, we can have an indication that this coalition might go for a long time because, as I mentioned a decade ago, U.S. dependency was really high on the flow of oil from Strait of Hormuz. And any interruption of supply from this choke point would have a direct and significant impact on the U.S. Energy security. But now the story is different. So what we think is that this coalition could go for a long time and U.S. would want some of its allies to contribute for the security of oil flow from this choke point. As again, at the end of the day, it does not make sense for U.S. taxpayer to contribute for security of oil that goes to China. Obviously, having the U.S. military in Strait of Hormuz does not only serve for the benefit of U.S. energy security perspective. In the case that there is a need for increase of military support in this area for securing the flow of oil, it makes sense that U.S. invites other allies to join U.S. for contributing for security and safety of oil flow from this strait.
Just finally, for our listeners who are learning a lot right now about the Strait of Hormuz, why would you say it's important to Americans, to ordinary Americans, what's going on in this choke point so far away from us?
Well, as I said, about one-fifth of global oil supply and almost most of LNG supplies from Qatar are passing through the Strait of Hormuz. But if there is any interruption and the prices of oil increase significantly, then it's going to have impact on the domestic oil prices. In the U.S., obviously, the impact might not be as significant as it would be on the prices, let's say, in China or in India or Japan, but it still is going to have a price effect. On the other side is also U.S. allies, for instance, Japan, South Korea, or European countries that are receiving oil or gas from this region. Their energy security would be hurt significantly. So it's both political reasons and also could have a price impact on the U.S. energy market.
That is Sarah Vakshuri, who is founder and president of SVB Energy International. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.